Welcome in to another edition of the Tapping the Keg Podcast, episode 545. Mitch on the other side of the Zoom. Charlie here with you after the Milwaukee Bucks big win over the Orlando Magic. The Bucks are in an interesting spot with the injury to Giannis Antetokounmpo. We'll talk if how the Bucks survive the first round without Giannis Antetokounmpo. Why I don't buy that Giannis and KD's calf injuries are the same. We'll also talk about the 2023 retrospect that's been going on and why it's wrong. And then if we get time, Mitch is on a tight schedule, we'll talk about the Brewers offense that continues to be a fucking wagon. Mitch, what's up? How you doing? I won't ask how you're doing. I've been asking vibe checks. Interesting vibes, right? Well, you know, with the Giannis injury, obviously, but a couple good wins. Bucks stacking some wins now after what was arguably one of the worst weeks in the last 5 to 6 years.
Yeah, I mean, it has been a roller coaster of sorts, or I don't know. I mean, just kind of bad overall.
Yeah.
Until you get the win in Boston, but it's bitter or against Boston, but it's bittersweet with the Giannis injury. And then obviously the win here against Orlando, and that's a big one. But I said to y'all in the group chat, like, I think it was after the Knicks game on Sunday, I was like, this is the most depressed I've been probably since the Herb days. I mean, it just felt like they hadn't looked that bad in a long time. Like just consistently finding ways to lose and just being awful in the fourth quarter of games over and over and over and then like they clinched a playoff spot. And I think that was just like, they clinch a playoff spot like during the game because somebody had lost. I forget who it was.
I think it was the Heat.
The Heat lost. So that sounds about right. The Heat lose and it's like clinched. And it kind of reminded me of like, do you remember when we went to a game? I think it was in 2013. It was like you, me, and Ashley sat in the suite when the Bucks they played the Raptors, who were bad at the time, and like we might have lost, and they tried to do some celebration because the Bucks clinched the A seed or something that night. It was like it was like the last weekend of the year or whatever. So pathetic. Like, and then. So obviously not that bad, and I'm just being dramatic, but it kind of seemed like, all right, we're supposed to be happy about clinching the playoffs, which I know obviously social teams are going to post it, it's content, whatever, and it is something to be celebrated, but as we're fucking playing like dog shit in the second half against the Knicks again, it just felt like, it just kind of took me back to that, and I was just like, oh, like how sad that was. But yeah, I mean, for them to bounce back like this is pretty good. So I'm doing okay, I suppose, overall.
Yeah, I think it, it's, you're right. I think that there was some frustration and everybody kind of looked at Tuesday and was like, you got to win. You got to come out, with, sort of the passion that everybody's talking about. And they did. And they, there were times where Boston kept fighting and, Boston, even though it was like, well, Boston was vanilla, Boston was kind of half-assing it, like they still gave a shit. Like they could have easily sat everybody, on Tuesday night and said, okay, it's just our bench guys. And they didn't do that.
Could they have though with the TNT game? Like, or like, what's the,
I'm not sure. Maybe not.
Because
maybe.
That's part of it. But I also think there should be some nuance where it's like, okay, you have a fucking 15 game lead in the standings. You probably don't need to play everybody. But I mean, we've seen it before, and obviously this is before this season, but you've seen it before where it's like Celtics and Bucks are playing in April with like seeding on the line, and one of the teams, ducks and doesn't want to put stuff on tape or whatever, or give anyone any advantages. Or whatever you want, or however you want to look at it, or just to randomly decide to rest people. So that never mattered before. But yeah, I mean, Boston for the most part, they didn't play Porzingis and Horford, which Porzingis, I understand, and I guess Horford too, because he's ancient, but
Right.
that's obviously a factor when those guys don't play. I mean,
Oh yeah.
you
I
know,
mean,
I
look,
mean.
I'm not taking a ton. I mean, I think if you're, honestly, like, if you want to talk about what game matters more between this Magic game or the game against Boston, it's the Magic game 100%. Now I know
Yeah.
Franz Wagner not playing. He hasn't been playing for a while. He's battling an injury himself. But it's just the fact that the Bucks come out. They don't have Middleton either because he has, doing the back-to-back rest, which I have no problem with. And they come out and absolutely kick the Magic's ass, really from start to finish. Like they were up by 14 at halftime, and then they kept that foot on the gas pedal. Back-to-back 30-point quarters. I kind of identified in the pod I did Monday that I was like, it seemed like in the losing streak they'd have one bad quarter, and you could literally find it. You'd be like, okay, that's when the game turned, and it's just it was and it was terribly frustrating, and that. For now, for two straight games, that hasn't happened. And it's like, if the Bucks are focused, they are a really good fucking team. And you just hope that they can show that focus every night. And I know that, and I think with the playoffs, the expectation is that they are going to do that. And to see them do this tonight, again, even without Chris Middleton, makes me think that if Giannis needs more time, they could survive a round one without Giannis. I feel confident about that. I didn't need the Magic game as a justification, but like in terms of we always do like confidence levels and dumb shit like that. Like, what is it from a scale of like 1 to 5 on, the Bucks surviving a first round matchup without Giannis?
Five being extremely high, right?
Yeah, 5 being win in 5 doesn't matter. Five would be win in 5 sweep, 4 would be win in 6, 3 would be win in 7 or lose, and then 2 and 1 being like we have no fucking shot.
Well, it's a good thing we're on a podcast because I think you need to discuss or talk out this a little bit
Sure,
because,
absolutely.
You know, I think, well, first of all, I think you saw the blueprint of how that would, how that would happen. Getting wins in the playoffs without Giannis is Bobby's got to be, good. He's got to be making his shots, which he's been largely good for, the whole second half of the season, I feel like. He's got
Yeah,
to kind of fill that scoring. If he can give you 20 plus or God forbid 30, like you saw tonight, I mean, that's offensively going to be huge. And Dame was much more aggressive than we've seen of late. He looked pretty good. He was blown by Orlando on to the basket quite a bit too, which is what I like to see, as opposed to we all like the step backs and shit, but those typically aren't dropping really, if you're
And
we're being honest.
just to cut in real quick, and I'll let you continue. Like Jalen Suggs is one of the top perimeter defenders in the NBA,
Yeah.
and he dropped 29 on him.
I like him a lot, actually. I mean, I know
Oh yeah, me too.
he's not the kind of he's a little got a little Pat Bev in him,
Oh yeah.
where it's like if you're facing him, he's a dog. Like, I mean, he's a nice player. I mean, he's probably not like top, worthy of a top five kind of AJ Hawk, right? Where it's like
Oh yeah.
he's
Yeah, agreed.
probably
That's a good
not
call.
a top five. He has top five talent. But he's probably not going to end up being in that role, if you will. He's
Right.
going to end up probably having a long career as, I don't know, a Shane Battier type or something, where
Yeah.
it's just you're always going to find a spot
Right.
for a guy like that. And I do like him. So yes, Dame was doing good things against good defenders and an overall good defensive team. And really, everybody's sitting there. You're getting obviously something from everybody is what you're going to need now. If you're facing Philly in the first round, I would not like it without Giannis. Because then that's two fouls on Brooke in the first 3 minutes of a game. I can for sure see that, and then it's over. And
Right.
then.
You would have to basically run and gun. And the Bucks aren't a run and gun team, but you would need to push the fucking pedal against them and hope that Embiid just tires out and hope that Embiid just wears down as it goes on. And yeah, you have to deal also with the Nick Nurse bully ball and just, basically fouling everything that walks and hoping the refs don't call it. And in today's NBA, where we've decided to just completely change foul rules, which I mostly like, it definitely benefits Philly and Miami.
Yeah.
But I agree that yes, the win, how do you survive without Giannis, certainly changes if it's Philadelphia. That is 100% true.
Yeah, I mean, chances are we're going to see one of those teams. So
right. Yeah, and I don't think the Bucks should be afraid of either of those teams. I think, you know, and we'll touch on the KD Giannis thing that I want to talk about, but you know, I think that yes, Philly kind of speeds up the timeline because you look at it and you say, okay, you're going to need Giannis for this because no way can Bobby do it against Embiid. It kind of highlights the fact that they don't really have a backup big. Do you almost have to do what Bud did and rotate Thanasis in at the end of quarters just to get fouls, right? Just to, and the other problem too with Embiid is Embiid doesn't, miss free throws. He's a 80% free throw shooter. So even if you use Thanasis as sort of this, like, get your six fouls, that's not even going to help you because Embiid's going to likely make those points. So, yeah, I agree that Philly would be you're probably out of three kind of confidence, and that really you'd have to hope that it's a long series. Maybe you get Giannis back at the end of it, and he's able to kind of push you ahead for that final, game five, game six, game seven sort of thing.
Yeah. But I'm at this point in time, I'm optimistic. I'm operating under the assumption that he'll be ready for game one.
Okay.
I
mean, so let's talk about sort of the KD angle. I mean, we can kind of just bounce around a little bit. Like, there are some, and I've seen it from local Bucks fans, I've seen it from national people, that are like, oh, KD hurt his calf in the Rockets series against Houston, and he was, having a good playoffs, the whole thing. Hurts his calf, misses a majority of games going forward, and then goes in, for that last one, and he tears his Achilles in Toronto. And they're like, the same thing could happen to Giannis. And I vehemently push back on that. In what world is Kevin Durant and Giannis's body type the same? In what world? In Fantasyland? Did Kevin Durant add?
Well, I mean, they're both 7 foot tall, and
yes, they're both lean. Tall, but Kevin Durant's a beanpole compared to Giannis.
Yeah, I agree.
And that's, and like his muscle, like he doesn't do the muscle, like the training and the, the work that Giannis does, to get his body in shape. Like Kevin Durant's just a basketball player. Kevin Durant's just a hooper. Giannis is a hooper, but he's also a physical specimen. And so I don't think that is a correlation. I think, yes, you want to have, extreme caution and want to make sure that you are taking all of that into consideration. But I also don't look at it and say, like, yes, that just because this happened to one NBA star means that it's going to happen again to Antetokounmpo.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't know how much I can really add. I mean, I agree with all that. No, that's fine, because I'm with you. I mean, it's get it off your chest. I mean, it's kind of, I mean, you're right. Like, Giannis is a physical freak. We've seen him get his leg bent and, bent backwards. Yeah. And yes, he came back, roughly a similar amount of time to what we'd be looking at in this situation. Now, the big difference there is that's finals versus first round.
Right.
I mean, in a lot of ways, where the Bucks are at right now, I mean, this is, you're not facing Atlanta. I mean, with all due respect.
No, right. And you're gonna get a team. If you get Philly, you're basically getting a second round matchup in the first round. And I do think if you get Miami or you get the Pacers, those are both first round matchups. I know the Pete are the boogeyman, but this is not your brother's Miami Heat team. This just isn't. And we went through that a couple weeks ago.
We said that last year, but yeah.
Yeah, I did, but I don't know, man. didn't you and I do an exercise and look through the roster, or did I do that on my own? Like, compare the rosters. There's no Gabe Vincent. There's no Max Strus. There is, like, those guys are not, have not been replaced with, players that are at their same equal, right? Yes, Caleb Martin's still there. Yes, Jimmy Butler's still there. Tyler Herro just coming back from injury. Duncan Robinson
Duncan Robinson.
has a little bit of an injury going on. It's a hamstring issue. Terry Rozier has missed the last two games with a neck injury. So I don't know, man. Like, I hear you, and it's never fun to play the Heat, but yes, I would say the Heat are probably right there with the Sixers, where I don't really want to play either of those teams, but if that's what it is,
Yeah.
then let's strap up, put on it, and go. And if it's Indiana, I mean, then that's best case scenario for giving Giannis some rest, because Indiana is a very small team, and you could play smaller lineups against that Pacers team. And the only worry there is Brook Lopez is probably not a great, guy in that matchup. But also, we saw that the Pacer Bucks matchup with this squad, all Adrian Griffin. We never saw it with Doc Rivers, which is an
Yeah,
entirely different angle
that
that I'm
is.
sure nobody will consider in the national media. They will be like, "Well, Pacers beat him four times. I don't know. They have a shot." Bullshit.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. And both situations are so different right now. I mean, Indiana has not
No,
been nearly
that's the other thing too.
as high powered as they were, which they're probably affected by the new foul rules as much as anybody. And Haliburton has come down to closer to his, closer to his career numbers, or whatever, closer to the back of his card, if you will, over the last, couple months. So, and yeah, right. It's a whole, we played them so much early in the year. We played them five times, in the first 2 months, and kind of like the Knicks too. And then you see him again, you see the new look Knicks on Sunday, and it didn't really go our way, but yeah, so Indiana would be fine. I think if it's Philly or Miami, I think I probably would rather see Miami, as much as that sucks to say. I mean, I don't
So
know.
there, I mean, this is it, the standing stuff is so weird. It's so bunched, man. And you, because like if you look at it here, Bucks right now have a 1.5 game lead against New York. They think they might clinch the two if New York loses to Boston tomorrow night, because that would put the Knicks 2 games back with two to play. And
I
then
would
I think the Bucks have a tiebreaker
think
against the
so, yeah.
Knicks. Yeah. So if the Knicks do lose tomorrow night, like then or tonight, that becomes the Bucks have the 2 seed. But look how jammed it is, because then it's Cleveland is a half game back of the Knicks. Orlando is a game back of Cleveland. And then Indiana is tied with Orlando, but Indiana and Cleveland play each other on Friday night, which will be a great, I mean,
And Orlando and Philly play each other.
right. Like, and from a tiebreaker perspective, it is the series is 2-2, or it's 2-1 to the Pacers. So if the Pacers win, they get the tiebreaker over the Cavs. And if you get that Cavs team, while granted, the Cavs team has a lot of size, I think they're already planning their Cancun trip. Like, they have bad vibes right now. They have just as bad vibes as the Bucks did last week, but their bad vibes have been like 2 or 3 weeks now, and it seems like Donovan Mitchell's gone this summer.
Yeah, he did come back to play against Memphis, right? For them.
Right.
So
Yeah.
I don't know how
So
long
it,
he's been back, but he
yeah, and
obviously
Mitchell,
makes a big difference.
right. And he's been a great playoff guy. And he's been a guy where you have the ball with five, he's a clutch time Dame Lillard like guy. So I don't know. It's crazy that there's all these different scenarios and you just don't know how it will shape up. I mean, this is exactly what the league wants. I mean, this is perfect. And of course, the dumbass league, I know they have the, I know ESPN has the Masters, but they do such a bad job sometimes with their TV stuff. Like Friday night, you should be like basically having like a red zone like thing on HBO Max. Like that, you should have a red zone channel basically. Call it whatever, brand it however you want to brand it, but like basically be able to look in on all these different matchups and talk about implications and everything else. You should have that for Friday, you should have it for Saturday, and you should have it for Sunday. But they have NBA TV games, which I get NBA TV. That's great if I'm not blacked out, which I would be for Bucks Thunder. But you get my point. Like, I don't know why we're not broadcasting all of this and not in only just the two games on NBA TV.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, that's, you're describing NBA TV or NBA Crunch Time.
Yeah, oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. They do have that available. But I'd run that on Max. Like, why not use Max for that exact reason?
I don't know. Whose decision is that?
I don't know. I just like to pontificate. I'm sorry. So I,
well, Chuck, the regular season doesn't matter, Charlie. Who cares? Blah, blah, blah.
Well, I mean, if the Bucks go on a
until title, it does, like
if they
like
go if they go on a title run, I do think that there will be a lot of people that'll be like, do we just not care about regular season anymore? Like, do we just not, does it not matter? You know? And it's no, I know. I agree. I agree. It does matter. And I think if people really want to look, if people really look deep on the Bucks, they would see how good they've been against elite teams and how they keep winning against above 500 teams and how they keep showing up in those games. And that should be the kind of the green flag to be like, this is why the team is still the third highest favorite, according to Vegas, at 8-1 to win the title. Because Vegas knows. Vegas well, sees that. That's that works into their equation.
That, I mean, that there's two things that have kept me, I've kept my head above water. It is that they are, they show up for good teams. They are 26-20 against teams above 500. I'm sure I can find a better stat than that. You know what? You can find a stat for whatever you want that they're
right.
You know, they've obviously, I mean, of course there's narratives and stuff and there's, and Celtics fans can say what they want, but the Bucks have played the Celtics pretty well fucking well this year.
Oh yeah. That's another,
interestingly enough. And then, yeah, they, you know, they've been good against good teams. There's that, but also the fact that, you know, their starting lineup that they've used most of the season is the best net rating
team.
Pardon me. The best net rating for five man lineup, you know, in the league. So sorry, I had some peanuts earlier. And
no worries.
All you gotta do is get one caught in your throat and you're done. But so that's keeping. But the interesting thing about that is we'll see what goes on with Malik Beasley here, because he's obviously been completely, you know, awful and has been you know sent to the bench. So I would prefer they don't mess with that. If you like, I wouldn't throw him back in there.
No, you won't.
I wouldn't pull a Craig Council and just all of a sudden have Malik Beasley as your starter again for game one. Like,
I think if, let's like just say Giannis doesn't play game one, I think your lineup is Dame, it's Pat Beverly, not Pat Connaughton, Chris Middleton, Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez. I think that's
Pat
your lineup.
Pat B, not Pat C.
Right. Pat B, not Pat C. Bell to ass Pat, not.
Yeah, you just throw Portis in there. I mean, I'd be fine with that.
Right. That would probably be.
Unfortunately,
probably,
Jay Crowder would have to play more, but.
Yeah. I don't think you would start. I don't think you should start Jay. I don't think you should start B's. Like, you're really small if it's B's, Pat, and Dame. Like, that's a really small lineup. And Chris at the four, like, I don't think that makes sense. The only defense that I have for B's, I said this last night too, and kind of I still believe in B's, is, you know, what we talked about last week. He's playing a lot more basketball than he did the last few years. And I think getting the week off, no one's going to benefit more for the week off than Mikal Beasley. Actually, if I were Doc, I'll double down on this. I think you just come up with a fake injury for him Saturday and Sunday and just say, or Friday and Sunday, and just say, don't play this weekend, chill, don't go out, don't get fucking drunk in Oklahoma City or Orlando, and just like hang out for a couple days and let your body heal leading on to Saturday or Sunday when the Bucks play.
Yeah, it wouldn't be a bad idea. I mean, he was, what were his numbers tonight? I mean, it wasn't.
He was 3-8. I mean, he was 3-8 from three. I mean,
that's a little bit of an uptick.
Yeah.
I will say that's not good, like great, but it's not, that's league average.
He might have actually been 2 of 8. I'll pull it up. But yeah,
2 of 8.
it's
2 of 8, 3 of 9 overall.
Yeah, it's not great. But you know, we'll just see. I mean, it's going to be a very interesting. I think the other thing to really watch here in these last two games is how do Chris and Dame play together? Because the chemistry between those two guys hasn't been great so far. And I think that, you know, maybe some of it's, you know, let Chris, you know, run the point and have Dame a little off ball. And maybe that's something that you could try. I think maybe having Pat Bev there will actually help and kind of balance it out. I think, you know, you have three ball handlers there and maybe you try some of that. I think at least the thing you do have is if Giannis does in fact miss game one or game two, you have basically a week of practice to figure all that shit out, figure out how these guys work together. And that's probably the thing the Bucks haven't had all year. Now they'll finally get it, you know, right before the playoffs.
Yeah, true.
We also saw how good they were out of the All-Star break when they had a ton of practice time. Food for thought.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. They came out and they were gangbusters and kind of made me – I mean, at the All-Star break, I didn't think this team would win 50 games. Then fast forward a month, and I thought they'd win probably 55. And now they're probably not going to –
They're 48 they'll probably right
get
now?
They're 49, so they'll probably get right on 50.
Yeah, I would assume so. I think that it'll really depend on, you know, what they need, right? If in fact the Knicks, you know, do in fact lose tomorrow night and two seeds secure, the Bucks will strategically rest some guys. They will rest some guys on Friday and they'll rest some guys on Sunday and just sort of go from there. But you know, we'll see. Kind of see, you know, what it all entails, from this.
And for all the shit that's, you know, the Bucks have gone through this year to still win 50 games is pretty incredible. I mean, you know, maybe it's not so bad, but also it's maybe because, you know, Giannis is so great and
right,
he's kind of able to carry this fucking sorry ass roster to 50 wins. So.
Right, and that's, I mean,
and they're not always bad, but I mean, when they're bad, they're bad.
Right,
that's for sure.
Right, no, exactly. That is there. Well, this is actually also a bad news for the Bucks. AJ Green left tonight's game with an ankle sprain and was on the bench wearing jeans. So that's not good either. It just hits keep coming, you know.
I mean, I knew he was not going to return with the left ankle sprain. But I mean,
yeah,
you know, it's hard to overcome to have one of your big four
right
being missing time, you know, Dame, Chris, Giannis and AJ Green. I mean, those are your studs right there. That's your horses. You got to have all of them.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to be funny, but
no.
The fact that he was on jeans on the bench doesn't really, you know, move me at all, as the kids would say.
Yeah.
I don't know what difference that makes.
Yeah. Well, maybe I'm just overreacting. It's never like me to overreact to something that I see going on there.
Well, and I'm just doing a Steve Novak and, you know, sort of not caring or I don't know. I was thinking, I think I realized what I don't like about Steve Novak tonight. And I'm not sure I can totally put my finger on it, but he's just like, there's 0.0 intensity in his delivery, or like he's kind of just happy to, you know, be talking, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know how to describe it. Like, well, he's kind of aloof.
He's just sort of boring, right?
Yeah, like, and he's like, it's like he's talking to himself and people are listening. Like, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Whereas like Marcus, it feels like he's talking to you, you know, like
he's very good at it. He's trying to entertain the crowd, right? Like, he's not reading a box score. He's not reading, you know, he's not giving these canned lines. You know what I mean? And
yeah,
I think, exactly. Like, Lisa tries to help, and it just doesn't work. Like, Novak's, like, I can't imagine having sex with that man. Like, he just, that can't be exciting. Like, he just brings no energy.
He's just got no personality, and like,
right.
it's just bad. I mean,
right. It pays to have a lot of money and be a former athlete and live around here. I mean, it's just like how it goes.
He would be good, like on, I don't know, a WIAA state tournament call.
Oh yeah,
that's fine with me. But
right.
To be doing NBA games is, and I get it. You know, we're a little old Milwaukee, and you know the budget's probably not there to be. But yeah. They were able to pull in Gus Johnson once upon a time. So
oh yeah,
that people couldn't forget. Have been cheap.
No, yeah, absolutely. Any other Bucks things on your mind before we move on to the Brewers?
Did you want to do the
oh
Adam
yeah,
Lefkoe
yeah
thing, or is that kind of that's kind of irrelevant at this point after two wins? I don't know.
Well, it's not irrelevant. Yeah, let's do a little bit of that. Sure. Thank you for the reminder. I know this might come off to our haters as sensitive Bucks fans, but I promise you're not. We'll also point out, you know, to be fair to Adam Lefkoe, I've heard this, I've seen this on Bucks Twitter. I've seen some of this same sort of acknowledgement. And there seems to be this retrospect going on. And it was happening before the Boston win, before the Orlando win. And Lefkoe talked about it on Ryan Russell's podcast on Tuesday and said, like, I don't know why the Bucks fired Mike Budenholzer, and I don't know why they got rid of Jrue Holiday. And it doesn't make sense to me. He tells a story about Jay Wright, about how, like, with Team USA, like, Jrue Holiday was, like, his first call and all this other shit and just the type of player Jrue Holiday is. And there's just been a lot of people like, well, we didn't know how good we had it with Bud and yada, yada, yada. It's like, guys, we can't do this when shit hits the fan. We can't just immediately throw the baby out of the bathwater and be like, oh, we should have went back to our old ways. Decisions have consequences, okay? And I think way too often in society, me included, we want to kind of have our cake and eat it too. And everybody was like upset about it. And it's like, do you guys like, do you forget all that happened? And like now this whole like, that this was all a mistake just feels so wrong to me. Mm-hmm. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, of course, when everyone's depressed and you've had a bad stretch, it hasn't been just this past week or two.
Right.
It's obviously been, I mean, it's been magnified for sure, and it's been amplified the last week with the Bucks struggling. But yes, I mean, you know, the revisionist history on Bud, you know, we're going to romanticize him, you know, and in some ways, you know, we should. I mean, he won a championship, and, you know, there will be, you know, there will come a day where he'll come home or whatever, he'll come back, and everybody, I don't know how, you know, bitter he is or whatever you want to say, or, you know, it's obviously a little awkward after you fire somebody. I mean,
oh, yeah. It's, I mean, I think it's a 5-year window. I think it's, you know, 5th-year anniversary of the 2021 championship would probably be something. Yeah. I also wouldn't be surprised if Bud takes the Cleveland Cavaliers job next season. Would not surprise me in the slightest.
Yeah, right. I mean, he obviously is fairly young yet. He'll probably get another shot somewhere when he's good and ready. But yeah, so right, the revisionist history, you know, Bud was on his way out in 2021.
Yep.
Rick
Carlisle was ready to be the Bucks coach.
And it was basically, you know, everybody wanted him fired for I don't know how long.
Right.
And it finally happened.
Right.
And you lost in the first round as a number one seed.
Right.
And as much
in five games. You didn't lose in seven. You lost in fucking five.
Yeah. And you know, and if it wasn't for like a historic shooting in game two, you probably wouldn't have won anything. And
right.
You almost blew that game too. But yeah, so Bud is pretty much on his way out, and it, you know, you lost in the first round to an 8 seed, and I'll be the first to tell you that Miami's not a normal 8 seed. They won't be this year. I mean, it's not Orlando in 2020.
Right.
You know, it's not
Detroit.
Chicago in 2022, where it's right in 2019. It's not a normal, you know, around 500. I mean, these are good teams with good players. And that's where we're at in the NBA. And it's a good problem to have. I mean, you want the best product possible, but still the fact doesn't change that they were the number one seed and they had to do something. They had to shake it up. And obviously when, another domino falls where you go and get Dame Lillard and are willing to trade Jrue Holiday, which is, I mean, not easy. That's not easy at all to do, considering how much he means to any team and any city he's ever been in. He's the most popular, one of the most popular players in the league for a reason. And he's a legend of a Buck, as far as I'm concerned, a champion. And to make that move is not easy. And to shake things up like that, it probably had to be done. Now, I bet you if you get, as Bill Simmons like to say, a truth serum on John Horst or Peter Fagan or one of the owners or whatever, I mean, would they have shooken it up so much had they known, or would one move had led to the other? I guess basically what I'm getting at is, if had they known they're getting Dame, would they have fired Bud or vice versa?
Or would they have hired a Doc Rivers, knowing that Adrian Griffin was over his skis and there's no way that Adrian Griffin could manage this and things like that? I don't know.
Well, that part I would hope they would have known. I mean, you knew going in he's a rookie head coach with a team that's
right,
ready to win now, and they always were.
Yeah.
But when you get Dame, or when you switch an offensive minded point guard for a more defensive minded, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah,
it changes
I know.
Everything.
Well,
and,
right.
And Drew can hold his own offensively, but he's a different player than they're completely different players, and it switches everything up. And Griffin was running this, hair and fire defense that just doesn't work with the Bucks roster. I mean,
right. And
essentially what Jason Kidd was doing way back when.
Well,
and that didn't work either.
Look, if the Bucks would have had Dame with Adrian Griffin, they would have had Drew with Adrian Griffin, the Bucks probably would have only won, would be at probably 43 wins right now. I believe that. I think, I don't know if Dame was good for 6 wins. I mean, I realize win shares, Dame and Drew are actually pretty close. But if you actually like go beyond the advanced metrics, like I could probably point to 6 games that Damian Lillard, won Bucks this season. And I don't know if Drew Holiday would win those same 6 games, if you get what I'm saying.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and people forget Drew got cooked by Jimmy Butler. And
yes,
that's not totally his fault, because they, Bud refused to try anything else.
Right. And Bud, with the Giannis back injury, I understand, but he did not do anything. And I think that, look, Giannis moves in silence. Giannis keeps a low profile. Giannis does not complain to the media. Giannis doesn't leak shit to Shams, doesn't leak shit to even a Chris Haynes.
Chris Haynes.
Yeah. And I think the Bud thing ran its course. And you had Jay Crowder's comments after the, when Griff's took over, like, it was way too much of a country club. It was way too much of this. And now Jay Crowder got sent to the bench. But that was another thing. You gave up 5 fucking second round picks to have your Bud not even use them. I understand second round picks are not as valuable as, certain things in the NBA, but still, that's such a spit in the face to the front office to be like, oh, I'm not going to use the guy that you traded a ton of capital for. Fuck off. I'm still going to do it my way. He doesn't have that cachet. He's not Pop.
Right.
So
yeah, I mean,
I just,
that's true.
I just, I disagree wholeheartedly that this was a mistake. And I also think the Bucks are going to, next year, really. And I know that people don't want to hear
was
this.
Was not a mistake?
Everything the Bucks did, like Drew, Griff was bad, but I think they thought they were going to get Nick Nurse, and then Giannis didn't want to play for Nick Nurse. And I don't think Giannis asked for Adrian Griffin, and I think they kind of fucked themselves a little bit. And that's maybe the only mistake, is that they should have checked with Giannis on Nick Nurse. And that should have been something that they did real due diligence on. And I understand not wanting to do entire player empowerment, but I think they could have done just a little bit more. And I think it would have helped kind of refine their search a little bit better. And maybe you would have ended up with Doc Rivers. And we would have hated Doc Rivers in July. And we've talked about that on this show. But maybe that would have been the right move. And that was the only real mistake that they made, was bringing in an inexperienced coach to kind of figure out this team. And he was a disaster. And the Bucs saw right through it. And then he gets rid of Terry Stotts, and or Terry Stotts leaves. And that's when we immediately should have known that things were not good.
Yeah.
So, all right. We're running on our limited time on our deadline. But we have to talk a little bit about the Milwaukee Brewers. We can't leave this podcast without talking about the 8-3 Milwaukee Brewers. The Milwaukee Brewers that are going for a 3-4 against Cincinnati Reds this afternoon with Freddie Peralta on the mound. A Milwaukee Brewers team that has had their lowest run total of the last four games. And that was 7 today. They're wagging right now. They're playing. Their offense is just on another level. And I will use my best. If we had drops back in the old day, I'd ask you to drop the Deion Sanders. Do you believe in this Milwaukee Brewers offense, Mitch?
I don't see why not. I mean, it's Christian Yelich looks like he's pretty much back. Yeah, you know, he looks like he's, I don't want to say back to MVP. I'm not going there. That's low hanging fruit.
But it is.
Let's say he appears to have taken another step back toward MVP form. I don't know if you're ever going to get 35 and 120 again. But he's looking pretty, you know, pretty damn solid. And I think it starts there, but also it just feels like they're more exciting to watch. And it's easy to say, obviously, when they're scoring runs and the pitching is held up so far pretty well here in the, you know, or I guess hasn't missed a beat from last year.
Yep.
And Murphy's done a good job of handling the bullpen outside of probably the one Piamps hiccup that we talked about last week. I think that was right after that. But like a lot of speed and, you know, the young guys, you know, shit, William Contreras is what, 26? And he's like something like that. And he's, you know, he's the old guy kind of around, or has, you know, some of the more service time. Mm-hmm. You know, Blake Perkins is like 30, but he had, you know, been in the bigs a whole lot. But yeah, I mean, everybody's kind of contributing, and I don't, you know, I don't see really any reason to kind of think. I mean, it'll probably even out a little bit. You know, they're not going to score. Oh, yeah. You know, you're not playing at Great American Bandbox every single game.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with the Orioles this weekend.
That is
buddy Corbin Burns, probably. I'm not sure exactly what day,
but I think Sunday, and the Jackson Holiday debut at Camden Yards on Friday, which will talk about a great game for Apple TV. We criticize the NBA. Apple TV getting that game on Friday nights. That's quite the haul for them. So that's, you know, credit where credit's due.
However, right. that's like, I mean, they always put the, you know, they never have like marquee teams on Apple TV typically.
They have Cubs Mariners is the night game. I mean, Cubs are, I would say, a marquee team.
Yeah, that's true. That's a bad take. My bad.
No, that's okay. That's all right.
I do feel like more often than not, though, it's like,
yeah, the fucking Royals,
Detroit,
are,
and yeah, and
Pittsburgh.
No, no shade to Detroit. Our good buddy Vigo, but
I agree, but I think the one thing that I'm like look at, and that's kind of jarring and unlike years of old, is they're hitting with runners in scoring position. So even in the game they lost, they were five
say that too loud, Charlie.
I know, but 5-10 with runners in scoring position on Monday, 6 of 13 on Tuesday. Tonight they were 4 of 8. And it seems like every time, at least last night and a little bit today too, where the Reds would fuck up, the Brewers would take advantage of it. And that's like old school Cardinals shit. That's like the Dodgers. That's like what really good teams do, where it's like you can't make a mistake against them, because if you make a mistake, they are going to make you pay. And that's the type of stuff that gets me going, because I'm like, yeah. Okay. Like,
I mean, you saw that tonight with, you know, the first, was first or second inning, where you had one get away after a base hit. They threw it in and Brewers got a run, but then nobody backed up the catcher.
Yeah, Trio. So yep. Mm-hmm.
Took an extra base, and then Contreras hits a 2-run single.
Yeah.
It's like, exactly. Shit like that is huge
or,
in baseball.
Or like yesterday, where it was Contreras, there was an error. You know, Contreras was going to hit into a double play, and Ellie De La Cruz, you know, who everyone just sucks his dick. I mean, his home run today was very impressive. But he bungles the ball. The runners get on second and third. First pitch for Yelich, boom, two run double. Like, man, when you're doing that, like, that's great. And their offense in 2022 was actually pretty good. They had a better offense than maybe people gave it credit for. Like, if you look at the stats in that 2022 team, I know for a lot of things, that was a mess of a team for a variety of reasons. But they're just playing loose. And I don't know if it's just the attitude and to your point, like, it's more fun. Are they playing more the way that these guys want to play versus the way that Craig Counsell wanted to play? That would be my only thing, right? Because not much has changed, right? I kind of pointed that out on X today after Jamal Crawford had a bad Adrian Griffin take. And I'm like, look, Adrian Griffin came in and tried to do is like completely different than what the Bucks did, than what the Bucks were doing. Pat Murphy has come in and basically not changed much, to your point. Like, and yeah. But there is a slight difference. And is it just that they're actually playing the way that all these guys want to play and not, you know, to a Craig Counsell construct or a David Stearns construct, and they're just kind of playing their way, and that's, you know, opening it up for all these guys to have a ton of confidence at the plate?
I hope so. I mean, that's all you could ask for. I mean, that's exactly, anytime you make a coaching change with a team that's won the division or made the playoffs, or you're just kind of looking to take that next step, or, you know, not reinvent the wheel. And, you know, Murphy was here all, you know, the last several years with under Counsell. But, you know, I feel like had more experience as a manager, as a baseball coach than Counsell. And I don't know, like, I'm almost ready to fill out an apology form for Pat Murphy at this point. Like, we were despondent at the thought of Pat Murphy being the manager. And then when it actually happened, it felt like the most Brewers thing ever. And I don't know. It's been a hell of a start to the season for sure.
Oh yeah. They certainly know what they're doing. They know what they did with Pat Murphy. And he's, you know, he had an 8-minute media session after the game. Like, and I listened to some of it, and it was really interesting. Like, the way he talked about, like, Joe Ross, and talked about how, like, Contreras basically called that entire game. Like, they're not advising him, and they're just like, oh, the amount of work that he did. And Joe Ross was really good. I'm not getting too excited about Joe Ross. I'm like, kind of like, as I said yesterday, he's under observation. Like, good start. All right. Can you do it twice? Can you do it again? All right, cool. We'll see. It's really exciting. Also, quickly, because I know we're up against it, am I the asshole for, like, kind of cheering against Corbin Burns?
No.
Okay. I didn't think so.
I don't think so.
I was like, there are certain guys that I didn't really like Corbin Burns that much. Like, I thought Corbin Burns was fun. I loved watching him pitch. But, like, I don't know. Like, I like Brandon Woodruff a lot more. I don't know. Like, Raulí Tellez, I hope, does well in Pittsburgh, even though he's on arrival. Like, I thought him coming up into Bednar, who blew a game, like gave up three runs. And he's like, look, we don't boo. Like, we don't boo this guy. And which, you know, whatever, a little meatheady. But still, it's kind of cool. It's like, awesome. Like, that's great. And I have no problem with Rowdy. I can't stand – I don't say I can't stand Burns. The Josh Hader stuff's so funny because I was right all along that he was a fucking prick. I still agree it was a bad deal. We don't need to relitigate it. We've relitigated it hundreds of times. But my God, is that guy just not a good dude. Like, just he's a bad teammate. Like, Joe Musgrove called him out. He's like, oh, it's really nice to have a closer who can go more than one inning and pitch in non-save situations. Oh, I wonder who he's talking about. Last night, the Astros lost in extras. Well, I do because I was right. Like, I'm sorry. I was half right about that. I was wrong that I defended David Stearns on the trade. That was idiotic. It should never have happened. That was a bad deal. But I also thought maybe Josh Hader's kind of an asshole. And I was right about that. So I will take half of my pie and go home with it.
Well, then why did they fall apart when they traded him for such an asshole?
That is a fair challenge. Maybe
that all along has been the thought was like, well, they, you know, well, I mean, the answer is the fact that he's still a great player.
And, yes.
Or at least like,
right.
You know, was
he may be a good teammate, and but it may be the fact
he's
that
a me guy. He's a little bit of a me guy.
Yes. I mean, thank you. Yes. That's the answer. That's the answer.
And that's that's why you don't like Burns, because he, you know, bitched up and down about arbitration.
And it looked like he was quiet.
He's on a podcast every month and feels like, or every week or something. And, you know, he kind of just runs his mouth is an overused term, but I mean, he seems like he's constantly out there talking about stuff. And it's like,
well, and the other frustrating thing about Burns was, it's not like he would, if the Brewers were like, all right, Corbin, we'll give you 4 years for 150. He'd be like, fuck off. And that's the thing. Like, they're like, oh, we can get rid of this arbitration. We're not going to do this. But Brewers did learn from that. Like, they took care of everybody. They didn't have one arbitration cost this year. They were like, nope, we're not doing it. We don't want to get our fans mad, and we're going to take care of this, and we're going to figure this out. We're not going to go to arbitration with any of these guys. Took care of business on that, which I give them credit for. And I truly believe that even if they are hovering around playoffs, they will not trade Devin Williams because of the Josh Hader situation. They will not impact that, even if Abner is awesome. And they're like, we have the closer of the future. They will not do it. And even though the kind of the non-day-to-day baseball guys will be like, well, why did they trade Devin Williams? That's, you know, it's a chemistry thing. They learned their lesson. I truly believe that. But we'll see. Could be wrong. Never know. But, we'll be back next week. Maybe you got a big garden home week. I was going to talk to you offline. So maybe we'll get you at another time. And then I'll be back on Monday. Should be an awesome Monday. We'll have the Brewers Orioles to recap, which I cannot wait for that series. Very excited. And then the last of the Bucks. We'll know where the Bucks sit seed wise. And maybe we'll do a little master. Mitch, do you have a master prediction? Do you have who's winning it?
Let's see.
Favorites are like Scottie Scheffler, Rory. Yeah,
I heard Simmons little deal with stupid little bit with House.
I love that. I like that bit.
So Wyndham Clark seemed intriguing in terms of
first timer.
Somebody who's they compared him to Minnesota Timberwolves, right? Where it's I think is what was the comp. Somebody who's, you know, in their first go around, and but it's really good and playing well and, you know, plays the right way. What other cliches can I use? But yeah, I guess throw me down for that.
Okay. Last thing. How excited are you to see the hand wringing from the high school football weirdos that the Packers are playing on a Friday night?
When there apparently aren't games.
Oh, really?
Andy Herman tweeted that out, that there's not high school football games that night.
That's bullshit. All due respect to Andy. Like, there's no way that's true. So that they're just No one's playing on Friday night because the NFL's playing.
I mean, I don't know why.
Well, I will. We'll have to get IT on that.
I wouldn't be shocked
that
in this fucking state.
Yeah, well, I got.
Let's see if I can find this. Hold on
Well, here. I'll tell you what. This state's going to be so fucking drunk for a Friday night Packer game. Like, so drunk. Yeah. Middle of the summer, too.
Again, don't watch if you don't want it to continue.
I'm not there.
Friday night is for high school football. It's this tweet from Andy Herman about mocking all the fans for all the stuff they're bitching about.
Mm-hmm.
I hate that it's in Brazil. He goes, better than Philly.
Yep.
Friday night is for high school football. Not this year on September 6th. Also, the NFL does not care. The NFL is just trying to make more money. Yeah, where have you been? But it's on Peacock. It's $5.
Well, the other thing,
I don't know if the state just decided to not do it, because that would be like the third or fourth week of high school football.
Yeah. Also, just to note on the Peacock thing, just a friendly reminder: if you're in Milwaukee or Green Bay, you don't have to pay for Peacock. It'll be over. It'll be over the normal thing. I don't know why the high school football. I'll look at that weirdo Travis Wilson, who I've had some Twitter wars with in the past, and see what he says.
He's
he'll
kind of the
know.
Worst. I'll give you that.
Oh yeah, big time loser. But well, this is a good time to go, because then I'll just get myself in more trouble. If I continue, I'll start talking about the Oval Office, which I don't need to do. But that's the pods for the week. That's a good way to end it. I won't be back. I'm off Friday, so I'm we'll see everybody Monday.
Good for you.
Hey, look, 4 straight days of pods. Built different. What can I say?
Hell yeah.
All right.
Garden Home album comes out on
Oh
Friday.
Yeah. Fuck. So,
let me see.
Come on. You gotta promote Garden Home early. I always forget. I'm sorry. Yeah. Go get your garden. Go stream your Garden Home shit. And then I'll see everybody at the Cactus Club next Friday.
That's right.
All right. Take care. Have a good one. See you guys.
Peace.